we're going to be positive every day. You're the people being negative, you and some of the fans. Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. And if you expect them to walk through the door, they're going to be gray and old. What we are is young, exciting, hardworking, and going to improve. People don't realize that. And as soon as they realize that those three guys are not coming through that door, the better this town will be for all of us. Because they're young guys in that room playing their asses off. I wish we had $90 million under the salary cap. Wish we could buy the world. We can't. The only way we can do is work hard. And all this negativity that's in this town sucks. And I've been around, and when Jim Rice was booed, I've been around with Yastrzemski booed, and it stinks. It makes the greatest town, greatest city in the world lousy. The only thing going to turn this around is being upbeat and positive like we are in that locker room. So if you think that we're not coming to play against the Toronto Raptors, you're mistaken. Only we're not coming to play with McHale and Parrish or Cousy or Russell. We're coming with young guys who want to get better, want to play the game. And we're going to stay positive all the way through. And if you think I'm going to succumb to negativity, you're wrong. You got the wrong guy leading this basketball team.
We're joined by Rick Pitino, former coach of the Celtics, current coach of the Louisville Cardinals, who won the national championship. Rick Pitino, hello.
Good morning, guys.
You stink. You ruined the Celtics.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the
If I had my finger on the button, I would have done the exact same thing. I could not be more proud of you today than, I mean, I'm so happy right now.
Well, we're not going to get anyone from Premier anymore.
But no, I think it was worth it. Yeah, at least from my point of view, it was.
Sometimes it's where I had these questions.
That
already,
was awesome.
Like, why did you get rid of Red Auerbach? Why did you strip him of the title of president? But you know,
why didn't you have a farewell press conference? Why did you sign Travis Knight to a 7-year contract?
But you know what?
Why did you trade Chauncey Billups in his rookie year after drafting him third overall?
Wow, that was funny.
All right, well, I guess we're doing the stack then. That was...
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. I had to bring my dog here.
Yeah, he just peed all over the room, I think.
Yeah. I think it peed on me. There's water in my... She sat on me during the ride here, and then there was water on the seat. So I think she might have peed in my car, too.
I was walking past the room, the production studio, and I just see Nick on the ground with wet wipes.
Not wet wipes. They weren't wet when he got them. Mm. They were dry when he got them.
Oh, they're just paper towels, I guess. Yeah,
that's right. Then you got to spray something so she doesn't get that scent. She'll just pee there right again. So yeah, she ran and she was excited. She saw that room. She remembered that room for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
She went hog wild right into that room. Got so excited she started peeing all over the place. She loves Nick.
she does like Nick.
Yeah, she just wanted to be right next to Nick.
Didn't she curl up in his chair when she was here the last time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hopefully again, so Nick has to stand the whole show. That's the idea.
By the way, I just learned over that when we played that clip, it's the 18th anniversary of the Rick Pitino rant.
Yep.
Yesterday was.
Okay, yesterday was the 18th year anniversary of that rant.
Okay.
Which I was present for, right, by the way.
That's the thing I learned. You probably told us that, but for some reason, so you were in the room. Now, what were you doing? Were you working at the other station at the time?
Yes, I was covering the Celtics for the other guys, yes.
Okay, so he comes in, and that was, of course, after that horrible last-second loss. Who was it? Vince Carter?
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, hit that last-second shot. Toronto, and they had lost 11 out of 14, and it was just a bad place right there for the Celtics. So you're in that room and he comes walking and he does that. What was the question that spurred that answer?
I should have looked it back up. It really wasn't anything specific.
Like he wanted to get that out.
He needed to get that out. And what he didn't mention is that, you know, Bird, McHale, and Parrish aren't coming through that door. Yeah, you have Vitaly Potapenko, Tony Batty, and Eric Williams, and all of this is your own doing.
Yeah.
You're capped out of the world because you did this.
These crazy contracts for like
Travis
mediocre
Knight
players.
7-year contract.
You couldn't get rid of any of those contracts.
No.
So this is right. It's all your fault. So after he does that,
yeah.
What's the room? Like, what's the room like?
The room was like, what are you, crazy?
Because I read a pretty interesting article yesterday that the reception of him saying that immediately afterwards wasn't like 100% negative.
No, there was...
Like, it took time for people to go, what a jackass that guy was, which is amazing to me.
It wasn't that.
It took that long.
It turned out to be kind of a requiem for sports talk radio as well. All the negativity. Well, sports talk radio is to blame. There are true Celtics... This was part of the discussion. There are true Celtics fans that are behind this team 100%, even though they went 35-47 that year. You know, they're behind the team 100%. Sports talk radio is to blame for the negativity.
Sure.
That's what it was. It wasn't that the team was horrible and the contracts weighing them down like an anchor in the middle of the ocean were bad. It's that, you know, it was all sports talk radio's fault.
Okay, so you have been on the other side of the wrath of managers and coaches before.
Yeah.
Terry Francona.
Francona especially.
Pulled
yeah.
you into his office one time. He was probably taking a dump while he was speaking to
no,
you.
No, he had just finished.
Just finished. Right? Yeah. So there was
swinging doors were closed.
There was a fresh fog in the air.
Yes.
But he brought you in to yell at you because of some of the things that were said on the radio station.
Correct.
Did that ever happen with Rick Pitino?
No, okay. It did not.
It did not?
No. Pitino really didn't grant that kind of access to anyone. Pitino came in, you know, brought all the banners down, fired Red Auerbach, assumed the position of president of the organization, and fired everyone that was there before he got there and just did his own thing. And he left, I mean, he left without holding a press conference to say goodbye. He kept Boston at arm's length. He had no, looking back on it, I think he had no interest in being here other than to prove that he was awesome again. If you remember, he was awesome with the Knicks. The Knicks were really good when he was the head coach. Really good. They didn't win a title, but they won the division, something unheard of when he was the head coach there. He was good at Providence College. He made the Final Four with Billy Donovan as his point guard, and he just figured the Celtics were going to be another step to prove to everyone how awesome he was, and then people realized he couldn't be a general manager and failed miserably, flamed out, went back to Kentucky.
How did he treat the media when the cameras weren't rolling? Because you hear stories about Bill Belichick, as surly as he is to the people in that room during press conferences. A lot of people say, you know what, Bill can be pretty cool. Pull you aside,
yeah.
And he'll tell you this, blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, when he's up in front of everyone, in front of the cameras, it's a different Bill. Was Pitino...
Not to me and not to the people I talked to. I'm sure there were some reporters that he granted access to, but he didn't... Again, he kept everyone at arm's length.
Did you take a dump?
The time he was here.
Did you take a dump?
Yeah.
On the floor?
Yeah.
All right, Nick.
Are you making him clean up your dog's dump?
You got the paper towels ready?
Why are you making Nick clean up your dog's dump?
Half the reason I brought her in is because it pisses you off so much.
No, it doesn't piss me off. I just find it very strange that, well, your dog was down here, like, unplugging my stuff, but I don't care. I mean, that's not a big deal. But if I was, like, you know, kind of looking down, it's because he was messing with my stuff.
Nick's going to be hopping around today, isn't he?
That's not cool. Yeah. You can't make Nick clean up your dog's stuff.
It's called crap, but I didn't make him do anything. He just did it. I mean, she's excited.
Nick's that kind of guy. Nick's the kind of guy that goes the extra yard.
If Nick offers to do it, great.
Yeah.
But you can't make someone do that. You definitely could. Yeah, you can't ask someone to do that.
I didn't ask him to do anything.
On the plus side, you figure she got it out of the way early. It can't possibly happen again, right? There's no food between now and 10 o'clock.
No, I got food.
Oh, good. Okay.
I got food and toys.
Okay, good. Any squeaky things that we can leave or run around here in the studio?
Oh, yeah, she's going to run around the studio.
Okay.
There's no question about that.
That's fair.
I got a bone. I got food.
What's the dog's name again?
Lemmy.
Lemmy, that's right.
So is Lemmy, everyone kind of come back around on being happy that Lemmy is the dog that she is? I know you're worried that it was a pit that for a while.
No, it's not a pit bull.
Okay.
No, the vet said no. Ernie, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Well, I got the blues, but first I want to say one thing. A couple things. Wallach,
yeah.
Hope you enjoyed your Red Bull before the show today. You seem to be very energetic. Fred, looking good.
Yeah.
Nice to hear that you had the dog in the studio. You guys are busting on my man Rick Pitino. That guy can hold down a 12-bar blues bass line like nobody's business with me and Stephen King up at my ocean house here in coastal Maine. And I just got to wonder, like...
What the Rock Bottom Remainers?
This guy's the lead singer of the Automatics. Have you not noticed the name?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Ernie is calling.
Side project, baby. Look, I've been moving a lot of units. fine, but I got the blues when he started picking on my friends.
Was Ernie Bach friends with Rick Pitino?
I don't know. Was
I don't
he?
Remember that.
I don't see Pitino as a guy who liked to listen to the blues.
So Pitino, he played bass for you, you say?
Sometimes when we hang out, we like to jam. Yeah, keep a setup, you know, we keep a back line around in the basement. It's fine. And you don't know. You're a guy like me. You move a lot of units. You tend to make some weird friends. And Pitino happens to be in my circle. And I know he's not popular, but why you got to keep taking it out on him? The guy's under a lot of pressure these days. I mean, he's crashing upstairs right now.
Is he really? Was he up late last night honking on a bobo with you guys? Just blowing on the old mouth harp?
No, Uncle Stevie's been down in Florida for a while. There's been no Bobo action, but we got the king with the queen of scream. We call Stephen King. We call him the queen of scream. We got him coming by up here in Maine. We got Pitino holding down. He can only do the 12 bar blues. No good turnarounds. You know, standard stuff, but he's a good guy.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you very much. Fake Ernie Bach can call it anytime he wants.
There was like a Rock Bottom Remainders thing in there.
Yeah, that was the...
Mitch album.
And who is the woman who wrote all of the Interview with a Vampire books? She was part of it, too.
It was Ann Rice. Rick Barry. Who's the, like, the funny columnist?
Yeah, I think
guy.
It's Rick Barry. Rick Barry, is that right?
It's Barry something. It's something Barry. It was him,
Dave Barry,
him, album,
Ann Rice, Stephen King,
and when I worked for album, he was like so proud that he played piano for the Rock Bottom Remainders. He was just like it was the coolest thing ever, and it was the lamest thing ever.
Yeah, it was.
Look at album's hair. You know, if I put you down this wormhole, you're gonna spend the whole day doing it. Mitch Albom's ears are the size of Dumbo.
So he grew his hair out halfway down to the ear hole. And it's been that way for how long?
I mean,
30 Jesus. Years? 40 years?
John, I mean, I worked for him in 97.
Yeah.
And so it's 21 years ago.
I was just watching the 30 for 30, the Fab Five, over again. And
I saw it on the boat.
Yeah. And he has that hair. The hair, because, you know, I watched the Fab Five closer than anybody else during that period of time. It was at least 5, 6, 7 minutes of that movie was interviews with Mitch Albom.
Yeah.
And the hair is perfectly straight over half the ear. It stops exactly at the ear hole on both sides.
All right. Well, Nick, I apologize that you've had to clean up pee and crap.
The creator of The Simpsons was one of the Rock Bottom Remainers.
Matt Groening?
Yeah, Matt Groening was one of them.
Guess, all right, Bart Simpson influenced by who? The drawing of Bart Simpson influenced by what?
Max Headroom?
All. Alroy from the band All. The hybrid of the Descendants. He's a huge Descendants fan.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. That is true. Here is the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by the Great American Franchise Expo. Boomer says when it's time to put on a coverall and jam out the blues, there's only one place to go.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5 thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, get ready, Bruins fans, because this spring is going to be fun as hell.
18 seconds left in the power play. DeBrusk, high slot now. Holden, Rister deflected. They score! What a pass! Big Holden fake shot. Went to the side of the net. And wide open, you had David Krejci, who took the pass and popped it in. A power play goal, 6-3 Bruins.
Well, you heard it last night at the TD Garden, the first chance all season long that I've noticed of We Want the Cup, as your Boston Bruins absolutely ruined the Pittsburgh Penguins 8-4.
Yeah.
It was a game with everything. Two of the best teams in the East, real anger, easy to hate villains.
Crappy goaltending.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Without a doubt. I mean, it was first period was awful, but in a million goals scored. And ever since Rick Nash has arrived from New York, David Krejci has been a man reborn.
Near point Holden. Far point McAvoy. tees it up, deflected. Krejci shoots, he scores! Through him! That's a hat trick! For David Krejci, that is his sixth career hat trick. And the Bruins now lead it 7-3 over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep, hat trick for David Krejci, his first since 2014. But he wasn't the only Bruin that was prolific in the scoring department.
Near point now, McAvoy. Near side, Chara. Center deflected, they score! What a pass by the captain, Zdeno Chara! He put it right on the tape of Pastrnak, and he hammered it home. 8-3 Bruins.
Hey, you know who that was?
Pasta.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? He did it again, eating
pasta.
That's right. That's two pastas yesterday.
I get up at 10 in the morning, just
have a nice bowl of pasta. What do you have?
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
Yes, you will, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's defiance. It's
just... Well, his face afterwards. And I know we were here at the studio, but he's just like, what do you want?
He's like, you had to drag it out of him. You're like, why are you such a slob? Because that was the contest, you see. And then he was like, well, I'll get up at 10 a.m. I'll make myself a bowl of pasta.
Pasta.
That's right. He just kind of smiled like, well, there you go. It's what you wanted.
Well, so there you go. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well,
pasta.
Berries 2 and a power play that had been dead on arrival for the last six games was excellent. 3-for-5 with a man advantage. And when I say this game had everything... Not only did you get to watch a hockey game last night, but you also got to witness a true heavyweight fight.
With Alexiak pushing and shoving.
I got my son up to watch it.
Here we go. It's a long shift for Chara. Alexiak fighting right-handed, right corner. He's 6'7". He took an uppercut from Chara. Chara right-hand. Chara trying to fire some punches. Yeah. Alexiak a right. Chara right that connected on the back of the head. Chara right. Chara trying to get the right hand free. Alexiak a right. Chara a right to the body. No. Chara trying to get Alexiak's helmet off. And now Alexiak grabs him.
Yeah, that is 6'9 against 6'7. Yeah. It was like a scene from Pacific Rim.
I was so disappointed. Like Beers said it right. Chara was out on the ice a long time before that.
My son,
he was tired. He actually was the one who called it quits. They're holding each other, and Chara's like, had enough.
My son goes to bed after my daughter, and he was like going upstairs. And I'm like, come down. And I paused it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come down. This is going to be awesome. And I played it, and I'm like, yeah. It sucked.
I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if Chara had just stepped on the ice. It would have been much different, I think.
Okay, because they seem to have no interest in hurting each other.
Well, no, I mean, there were a couple like big hits at the very beginning, and then they just got tired.
Yeah, Chara especially looked tired at the end of it.
Yeah, it was like two lumbering monsters just slugging it out.
There was, because, you know, they all say that Chara's probably the guy you'd least like to fight in the league now that... Stupid's gone. That won the
John Scott.
John Scott's gone.
Every Bruins player we've had on and asked that question to, they all say Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, because he can hold you.
Yes,
no hockey player is tall. Everyone on the Bruins is shorter than me. They all are, like, legitimately, except for him and McQuaid. And so he can just hold you.
Mm-hmm.
And just pummel you while he holds you.
Well, you remember the Sidney Crosby thing, you know? Remember, right. Was that the actual playoffs into, like, 2013?
Yes. That's okay. When he speared
him. He got in his face, right? And Chara, there's that famous picture of Chara just laughing at him.
Yeah, Crosby, that was the end of the series because Crosby got frustrated and speared Chara in the stomach. And Chara just started laughing at
and
him.
And remember, we used to have Riley Smith on, and his brother, actually, during the playoffs, went after him.
And
Chara
was like,
looked at him and started smiling. I said, really? You want to do this?
Yeah, like, okay. No hockey player is over 6 feet tall. And then you got a 6'9 behemoth out there. Like, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, that was a fun game. Here's Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
Well, they fit in seamlessly. You've got veteran guys that... you know, have been in other locker rooms. I can't speak to whether they're good or bad or in different locker rooms. I know that ours is terrific when it comes to our leadership. I think our young guys have really helped it as well because they bring a lot of energy. They all have their own personality, but they're respectful. They want to learn from these veteran guys. So you get that mix in there.
Now, one of the few wet blankets you can throw in last night's win was, as we mentioned, Tuukka Rask in that first period was just awful.
He's not been good recently. He has not been very good. And it's a little... maybe he needs a little a break again.
How many of those first three goals would you consider soft? At least two, maybe even all three.
All three.
Yeah. I mean, there was one that got a weird bounce off of someone's glove, and that's the only one that I'll give him. But you're right. I mean, you could consider all three, but definitely two of the three. I mean, bad, bad, bad goals.
Yeah.
But
he settled down. But yeah. But he has not been good recently.
Yeah, at least three goals in four of his last five starts.
So maybe it's time to give him some time off again.
Well, here's Tuca.
And not that he won't be, you know, well, Tuca's not going to say anything.
Well, no, he actually did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, afterwards, he even knew that he sucked in that first period.
First period, I thought we were playing with white pucks there. One time I saw the pucks when I dug out of the net. Had some Red Bull in the intermission there, and actually made a couple saves, I thought.
The direct quote was, oh, my God, when someone asked me, he goes, yeah, the first period, I thought we were playing with white pucks out there.
Yeah.
The only time I saw the puck was I was digging it out of the net.
No, I just maybe, because you have the luxury now of giving him some time off. Maybe you just give him some time off. It's not even an insult to Rask. I mean, obviously, Rask is the guy that's going to take you. But do a Hudobin thing again. You can afford to lose a couple games, too. By the way, you're playing garbage at home now. Maybe you give Rask a little bit of a rest.
How about all these guys that you had no idea what kind of time they're going to get and when they're going to hit the ice? Everyone's doing well. Like, Gionta was great last night.
Yeah, I was like, why? Gionta's playing. How about that?
And he was good.
Yeah, he got an assist.
Yep.
So, yeah, I wonder if you just give him a break.
You see, it's maybe weird because you look at, you know, games played, and he's nowhere near the top.
No, I know.
I mean, he's, I think, 42.
But remember when he came out out of that break?
Yeah. I mean,
he was, like, electric? Maybe you just give him, you know, you're playing a lot of games in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it gets really busy right now.
Yeah.
And three of the next four should be wins. Only one, Philadelphia, was playing really, really well.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I could see starting Hudobin a couple of games here.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe I could see that.
Yeah, maybe you play Hudobin the next couple of games, because what is it, Detroit and
oh, you've got the Canadians are on Saturday. The
Canadians are tomorrow. Yeah. You have Detroit in there, and then Philadelphia.
Yeah, so maybe the Canadians in Detroit. Yeah. You let Hudobin play a little bit.
You got a nice matinee game on Saturday at 5 p.m. And Boston, by the way, leapfrogs Toronto back into second place. And they still have four games in hand on them. So,
yeah.
So you got a nice matinee, 5 o'clock. Tomorrow afternoon, and once again, you can hear that right here on 98.5 Sports.
Well, Michigan State plays at noon today, and I've actually found two people to watch the game with me, with normal jobs.
Wow, that's nice.
So,
it's not even March Madness.
Long lunch? Is that what we're doing here? Long lunch for your buddies? Yeah? They're going to show up?
Like, apparently, if you have a normal job on Fridays, you can just leave.
Yeah, my wife's working from home, so, yeah.
Yeah, like, apparently, like, if you have a normal job, and you're successful enough at it,
Fridays don't matter.
Yeah, like, you just leave.
God bless.
I had two guys go, like, hey, you want to get drinks tomorrow afternoon? I said, well, I'm going to watch Michigan State at noon. And they both were like, oh, yeah.
I'll meet you there.
Yeah. They're like, okay. What do you do for a living? You're able to do this. Yeah, you make a thousand times more than I do. How the hell do you get to meet me?
That's probably why.
Well, it just shows you, kids,
call the shots.
You know, it's not how hard you work. It's how efficiently you work, apparently. Listen, what's the dog doing?
Just chewing. You can actually kind of hear it. No, she stopped. She's chewing. She's got her bone back there. She's
very smart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She's a very smart dog.
Okay. That's good. Easy to train, right?
Well, apparently not. I should have let her go to the bathroom outside, but I was in a rush.
Yeah, looking back, that probably would have been good, I think.
Yeah, I owe Nick a kiss.
Okay.
I owe Nick a nice
kiss. Does the memory linger, or is it gone? Because I had two dogs. One dog, when it took a dump, you couldn't smell it. Then the other one, it was like that smell lasted for a while.
Well, she peed all over her leash, so I have dog pee all over my hands. Mm-hmm. In case you guys want to, you know, give
you five or something.
Hey. I smell it.
Where are you this morning?
Kitty litter James Stewart?
Where are you this morning, kitty litter James Stewart?
Forget it. It's raining and I'm terrified.
Really?
I'm under your car. I played that for my kids and wife yesterday because I thought it was so funny. And they looked at me like I was insane.
Like, what are you doing here?
Like, I played it in the car, and I'm like, and I'm dying laughing at myself. Like, yeah. I'm so thrilled with myself about how funny I'm being. And they're looking at me like I'm insane.
Did you make them wait for the punchline?
There's no punchline.
No, but the point is, did you make them wait for it like you made us wait for it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No change of emotion, nothing.
Huh.
I thought it was so great. And I'm like, listen to this. You're going to think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing. My son thought it was funny that you played the meow, meow, meow thing. But my daughter and wife just sat there and looked at me like I was insane.
Put Imagine Dragons back on.
I won't play that crap for anybody.
Welcome to the...
No. I won't play that for anybody. All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Now, before you start heading to Sarge's Twitter account to see what D-list wrestler uses that phrase as a tagline, you'll quickly find out that that tweet is probably the most Gronk tweet of the past year. You see, Bands a Make Her Dance is a song by Juicy J with Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz. Bands a Make Her Dance. And Bands is a reference to the bands that the bank puts around the straps of money. I know that because in the video, that's what they show you and point at, just so you know that those are indeed the bands that make her dance.
I just want him to start to tweeting about lean and just having him in a coding stupor at all times.
Tweeting about what?
Lean. That's codeine and soda.
Oh, I thought that was Zizzerp. Is that the Zizzerp?
Yeah, but it's lean.
Oh, okay. They call it lean now.
I'm lean in Italy like I was Pisa.
I just love that Gronk is back. I like tweeting about ladies Gronk better than who thinks I might retire Gronk. Whoa.
Yeah, he better retire.
For you to hang on. Whoa.
He better retire.
I'm starting to believe the Ian Rappaport thing that came out there is that he's doing this now. And you know what? Maybe it's a lead up to WrestleMania. Maybe it's just some sort of promotion for something he can do while still being a member of the Patriots.
All right. Well, fantastic. I mean, is this how I... Yeah, that's what Jimmy Stewart was saying. Is he said, I talked to Jimmy Stewart after the show yesterday for far longer than necessary. No, I talked to Jimmy Stewart and he was saying about... how he believed, as boring as it is, that Gronk's going to do both. That he's going to play football and wrestle, and that he's going to be in WrestleMania, and that he's going to wrestle before WrestleMania.
Well, now that I know the timing of WrestleMania, I mean, it's in April.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do that, and maybe that's what all this talk is leading up to it.
But, I mean, he'll get paid. But the idea is that he'll get paid. Like, he's going to be a wrestler. As well as when there's a history of this, like the Bears in 85, a couple guys did it.
McMahon, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, and someone else.
Well, Shaq, I mean, Shaq did it while he was still playing. I mean, there's a lot of athletes who have
Rodman.
You know, showed up. And was Rodman playing at the time, though, or was he done?
He was crying. He was just professionally crying at that point.
He was there. I remember him being there.
Yeah, but so anyway, Stewart, who probably would know, his theory is, and I'm sure the Patriots are wild about this, is that Gronkowski is going to professional wrestle. Like, he's going to be a wrestler up through and after WrestleMania, and then when Cam starts, not be a wrestler anymore.
Yeah, and then play a year there. And although, man, I got to find this article. So Tommy Curran yesterday, you know, like, I know you've made fun of, not made fun of, but you've called Tommy Curran somebody who's very pro Patriots.
No, and that's why I take when he's negative about the team, I take it as gospel. Oh, boy.
Yeah, what's the dog doing?
She's smelling around.
Looking for a place. Nick, where are you? Nick!
I sent Nick out to give me a soda.
Is that included in the $20?
I gave him extra money.
Oh, okay, all right.
So I read this yesterday, and here we go. Okay, so this is from Tommy Curran, and as you said... somebody who is usually, if there's a slant to be had, pro-Patriots.
Yeah,
well, Reese, I think, is extremely down the middle. I do think Reese is fair. I've never seen Reese really write something that's glowingly, like, tongue-washing the Patriots.
Fair enough, but Reese is hardly ever negative. Okay, but go ahead.
Okay, so this article is called, The Patriots' Future Rides on Breaking the Tension. And he said, it's impossible for me not to see ESPN's 30 for 30 documentary, The Two Bills, as a cautionary tale. All the elements that led to the Bill Parcells-Bill Belichick divorce and the Belichick-Patriots marriage back in 99 and early 2000 are now present in 2018. Driven individuals, great success, shifting motivations, emerging opportunities, the passage of time, the friction and resentment that can grow like weeds in a cracked driveway if the crack's not repaired. The players have changed, so have the stakes, but the game's the same. How is it going to end this time? He said, is it going to end with everyone bitching about whose job it is to pull the weeds? Then years later, lamenting after the house is sold and everybody's moved on, that if only the crack in the driveway were dealt with, it might have been different. Maybe then reflecting on back on it wouldn't be so bittersweet. He said, I wouldn't pretend to know the exact disposition of Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Rob Gronkowski, Josh McDaniels, and every other one of the legion of Patriot players, coaches, and executives in the mosaic down there. But my perception is that the friction and fatigue were at a record high in 2017, left unchecked,
it will end them as we know them.
Yeah. There's Belichick has reached his expiration date as the coach of the Patriots. I mean, that is basically what you're hearing.
Well, as far as the we'll buy into anything you say to us unquestioned, we saw him be questioned at the end of the Super Bowl by his own players.
Right.
And how much does winning, it's supposed to go out and win another 13 games next year. Does that solve it?
I didn't this year.
Yeah, I mean, you got to win a Super Bowl.
But this was the first. Well, what I'm saying is this year there was tension. They won 13 games, but this is the first year there's really tension. What if the team comes back, they go out, they win another division, they win 13 games,
they're going to win the
Super
Bowl.
All right, they win 13 games, they go to the Super Bowl again. Does that solve it?
No.
I mean, again, it goes back to Brady's old saying, you don't come to the Patriots to be appreciated, you come to the Patriots to win.
Yeah, but are people willing to come to the Patriots just to win now?
I still think they still are, but maybe not to the extent as they were beforehand. And you know what? It probably doesn't help that you had Lane Johnson and some of those guys from the Eagles saying that this is a miserable place to play. Even the Giants, I forget who it was from the Giants who came out and said, you know, I wouldn't want to play in that type of organization. Now, you laugh at him at the time.
The Giants are a horrible team.
Because the Giants are a horrible team. But when Lane Johnson says it and they just won a Super Bowl,
that
actually affect the perception of people coming
here. They looked like they were genuinely having fun and then they went out and beat your team. Yes.
All right.
I mean, and once again, that's a guy that's won one Super Bowl as opposed to what the Patriots have done. But if you're a guy if you're a guy who all else is equal and there's a team that could be a contender versus the Patriots for the same amount of money, maybe you go with the one that could be a contender instead, just because you don't want to be in that environment that you've been hearing about over the last couple of months, at least.
So Houston could be a factor next year. No one in the divisions can be a factor. If the Jets get Cousins, they could beat you once.
Well, if Buffalo gets Cousins,
Pittsburgh, Cousins, if they get everybody back, if Bell signs and everyone plays
they're going to franchise Bell at least.
I know. If you take him at his word, that'll be a problem if they do it.
What's he going to do?
He's powerless when it comes to that.
By the way, if I'm Pittsburgh, there's no way I sign him. He's 26, right? 27 is when the wheels come off.
26, 27.
Back.
Well, I think there's a clear line at 28. But either way, I mean, he's getting close to
fair
that.
Fair enough. I wouldn't sign him.
He maybe has a year or two left. You don't hand him 5 years and $75 million.
No, I franchise him.
Yeah, you franchise him. That's true.
And if he wants to sit out, that's fine. And then you can sit out until you're 28, and then no one will give you money.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So if you look around the AFC, I mean, who's really going to compete against them? Jacksonville still got Bortles.
By the way, I keep reading more and more that contract doesn't guarantee that Blake Bortles is going to be the guy. And people are saying that for the kind of money, they can still afford to go out and get a pretty good quarterback. Matter of fact, it doesn't immediately take them out of the Kirk Cousins thing, which I think is strange, but I've seen more than one person, like a decent writer, put that out there.
They don't have any cap space. They have to sign all those defensive players.
Well, once again, they're talking about moving things around. But
well,
I mean,
okay, good. Then they can, lose that entire defense.
But I believe they're going to be the same team they were last year.
You can get out from under this extension after 2 years.
Okay, fine. But the idea that they'll sign Cousins is ridiculous. I mean, you have all that defensive talent that's going to be free agents in a year or two. You're not going to be able to do that. There's a couple teams with enough cap space to sign Cousins. And if he doesn't want to play for the Jets and take less money, then he can go to Denver. But I don't think Minnesota has enough money to pay him enough.
What about Gruden? Gruden taking care of business, getting Derek Carr back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about your GPS and your advanced stats.
I want
to bring it back to the 70s when we didn't care about concussions and pansy stuff like
that. I have a feeling
the game has passed Gruden by a little bit.
You know, that's going to be fun to watch, though. Yeah. If you take an old throwback coach and try to put him in today's environment, I honestly wonder if it's going to backfire.
Many times, man. I hope Gruden's different because I love I'd settle in for 5 good years of Gruden. But, I mean, think about it, Joe Gibbs came back after some time off. He wasn't there. Remember NHL, Barry Melrose tried it and lasted like 3 months?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to hope that Gruden has some success.
I mean, Mark Davis, you know, staked his career on it, so you have to have faith in that. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Great balls of fire. Guess who just crawled out the mountain of Maya that can make you trust a liar. Real sucker diver, Vaughn never been a duck and diver. He spit on the mic, yuck saliva. Hold it like a truck driver, hold a CB on a sharp turn. Still clutching the chest from the heartburn.
What's your handle? I need a Zantac, Oc, and thanks before I blank into anaphylactic shock.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, briefly, is there anything else that we need to know about besides Rob Gronkowski tweets?
I know you're sitting here going, hey, what's going to happen to Danny Amendola? Well,
I desperately want him back.
Oh, I mean, he was excellent. I mean, he was excellent over the past couple of years. Matter of fact, I mean, I think we could all say that he exceeded expectations. I know when they first signed him and people thought he was a disappointment, and then sure enough,
will he play for Danny. Free, though? Well, that is the question.
He's not going to, because according to Jeff Howe, Danny Amendola's market is heating up. Matter of fact, he said he wouldn't be surprised if he landed somewhere between $3 and $5 million annually. The Patriots are going to have to make a competitive offer. And I mean,
Edelman back. I'm not giving him any money.
I wonder how well Edelman will play.
Did you hear the Volan thing about cutting the kid from New Orleans?
Brandon Cooks. No. It's not cutting. It's talking about the Brandon Cooks. Are you talking about the Odell Beckham thing?
No. He said that Brandon Cooks, that the option is cutting him based on his performance and the amount of money that he's owed in the future.
Performance is very good.
Nah.
His numbers were good.
The idea is that Cooks didn't, he's unable to get off the line.
Doesn't fight for the ball when he gets there.
I get that, but he had a sneaky good season if you look at his numbers. And I know there's been a couple of instances you can immediately think of and go, wow, he should have fought more for the ball.
There's looking at the numbers, and then there's looking at his performance on the field, and he was very underwhelming.
Well, there is an article, that Jeff Howe wrote, and it was a scenario that he threw out that he said seemed more feasible than most people are going to give a credit for, and that was making a trade for Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Cooks for Odell, and he broke down everything. The money is exactly the same, but here's the deal, is that they're going to have to figure out, they got, Brandon Cooks for one more year, so they got this year, and then they're going to have to decide what kind of money they're going to give him, and he's going to command about $14 million, whereas Odell Beckham has one more year as well for the exact same money as Brandon Cooks, and he wants 20. So their whole thing is that if you're looking to get rid of him anyway, I still don't know why the Giants would do this, especially if they're trying to get a new quarterback in there.
You
want to have a guy
coach
you can throw to.
Honestly, you were one of the worst teams in the NFL. You get a younger, quieter version of Beckham.
Everyone's going to lose. Every kid is going to lose their mind. They'll never be able to hang on to those jerseys.
What are the two highest selling jerseys, at least here in New England? You look around, and if it's not a Patriots jersey, it's Odell Beckham Jr.
Every kid is obsessed with Odell Beckham. Every kid. My son has a signed Odell Beckham picture. They're all obsessed with Odell Beckham. If he comes here,
it will be Christmas for 6 months here at this radio station.
Every kid. At this radio station? Every time he screws up. Every time he doesn't care.
Every kicking that he talks to on the sideline. Oh, my God.
He'll sell a ton. Here's what I can guarantee you, is he'll sell a ton of jerseys, and he's going to not fit in. And those are the two things. Because, by the way, the Patriots are not going to calm him down.
That's true. They will squeeze a year out of him, hope to God he keeps it together for one season, and then say goodbye.
I don't know. Randy Moss had a mooning problem, and they calmed him down here.
Randy Moss is also probably the most athletically gifted wide receiver of all time.
Best long threat in the history of the game.
So Randy Moss, I think, could, and as we found out, Randy Moss, behind all of the problems, is actually a very smart guy.
I do find that interesting, because I don't think in that article that Howe wrote, when he talked about how he saw this could actually be a thing, even though it sounds kind of outrageous when you first think about it, the one thing I don't believe he mentioned was the whole, are the Giants sick of his act? I mean, he came out and was joking around, or was he not, saying that he didn't want to do any preseason snaps.
Right.
Like, he's out on that. And, of course, everything that's happened this season, and they say that the attitude's affected the rest of the locker room. If you're looking to start over, if you got a new coach in there,
and you don't want to do it, hand him that major problem.
If they're willing to trade Beckham for Cooks, there's no doubt about it. The reason they're getting rid of Beckham is because they don't want him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no comparison in talent. I mean, Beckham's 1,000 times more talented than Cooks.
Agreed.
He's bigger.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a much better hands. He fights for balls. He's 1,000 times better receiver. If the Giants were willing to make that deal,
no,
it's entirely based on Beckham's attitude.
And money. There's a lot of money consideration of what they would have to do the next year. And they might not want to have to pay what he's worth.
Fine.
And they might want to get a guy who's just a little lesser version of an Odell Beckham for a lot less money.
But why, if I get Cooks for a year, that doesn't make it any more likely I can resign him. I mean, I could get Cooks in the offseason.
Sure you can, for less money. I know,
but him being on my team for a year means nothing.
Right.
I can play for the year and then sign him the next year.
That would be the theory, though, if you're the Giants.
Why would I trade just to have the guy for a year and just go, like, what, it was fun to wear my uniform? And now here I'm going to give you money?
Nope. Yeah, I mean, I guess
you're the Giants and you've made up your mind that you're not going to re-sign Odell Beckham.
I like Jeff. I just hope he can get another job. Because that Herald's crumbling. Woof. Woof.
I know. I like Jeff a lot, too.
I like Jeff. I hope he can get out of that fire cell.
By the way, Cooks, one of the best deep ball threats Brady's had since Moss.
Yeah, well.
Was in the top 10 in the NFL in yards per catch last year. Yeah. Almost 17 yards a catch.
Yeah. Fred, it's right. Because the first thing you think of when you think of Cooks are those two or three plays, maybe one or two plays, where he just didn't seem to fight for it.
Yeah.
But he had a sneaky good season last year. His numbers are...
Yeah, over 1,000 yards.
Really good.
Sure. At 16, 17 yards a catch.
7 touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
Yeah.
We have very important business to get to. We have another episode of Funny You Should Ask.
This might become my favorite game.
Yes.
And now I need redemption because I blew the last time I played this.
All right, so it is time to guess the joke...